The book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at just one verse, and I'll ask you to stand with me in due reverence to the Word of God as we read just this one verse. Acts 27, 29. The Word of God says, "Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day." Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again to ask for your mercy and grace. And we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us in these past few days. And pray that tonight that you would speak to hearts once again. And if there's one here, Lord, that needs a special touch from you, I pray that that they'd find their solace and find their rest in you. So bless our time around your word. Bless the chalk drawings. We show it a little bit and get honor to yourself in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, wished for the day. Well, most of you, I'm satisfied, probably have read this story over and over, and you've probably heard a number of messages on it. And I just want to kind of focus on that one verse, but it always helps to have a background in the message that's being preached. And so let me give it to you. Chapter 27 is the Apostle Paul. He's being taken to Rome as a prisoner, and that's what the first part of the chapter is about. He's in a boat, and he has changed boats once or twice, and finally they think everything is all right. And verse 13 says of chapter 27, it says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete." So now they think everything is cool. I mean, the south winds are blowing, and, you know, life is a whole lot like that, isn't it? There's times when, man, the south winds are blowing, and it just seems like everything's going great, and there's no problems at all. And then all at once a dark cloud arrives on the horizon, and next thing it's over top of you, and the next thing your winds have picked up, and you've got 80-mile-an-hour winds, and you have an arachnidon going on around you. That's what that was. And in verse 14 it says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called an arachnidon." Now, that kind of gets your tongue going there when you say that. But it's just like a hurricane. That's what it's talking about. And so things really started getting bad then. They wandered around in the sea there trying to find escape this storm and trying to, you know, survive the storm. Things got worse and worse, and the next part of the chapter has to do with how they reacted to the storm. And they didn't react too good. I mean, they got kind of scared, then the Apostle Paul says, down in verse 23, says, "For there stood by me," speaking, this is Paul, it says, "this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer," as he speaks to them, "for I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told me." So in spite of everything that's going on, and they've been like a couple of weeks in this terrible storm, and it looked like they wasn't going to make it through the storm. They just figured it's probably going to end up capsizing the boat, wrecking the boat one way or another, and they weren't going to survive the thing. But the way it's turned out, the last part of the chapter there is where God keeps his promise. And so then we read in verse 29, "Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." So in that situation there, they got the four anchors out of the stern of the boat. The wind is blowing, trying to push them into the shores and into the rocks, and they're having a time of it. But the Apostle Paul is just sitting there going, because he knows what's going on. God's already told him. And the Apostle Paul is one that has complete confidence in God, and what God says is true, so he didn't really worry a whole lot about it. He probably held onto the rail pretty tight, you know, to keep from going over and all that stuff. But finally, those couple of guys, they decide, well, hey, we need to get off of this thing, so let's drop one of the lifeboats or climb in the thing and get off. And they started to do that, and the Apostle Paul said, hey, wait a minute, guys. If you do that, then it's going to cause real problems, because nobody will be saved if you climb in that boat and try to escape. And so they cut the ropes, let the lifeboat go, and put themselves at the mercy of what the Apostle Paul had to say. So then it goes on. And what happens is, of course, the story is that they finally decided that the anchor's out and the wind blowing and the tossing to and fro is going to tear the boat up. And so they'd be better off if they went ahead and cut the anchor ropes and let the ship head into the shore. And they saw a stream or a small river that was coming out to the ocean. And so they made for that little creek, and they jammed the boat up in that thing. Of course, it was shallow, and as the waves beat around, it beat the boat to death. And they all got out of the boat and got to shore. Everybody lived happily ever after. Now, that's the story. And I want to talk to you just simply about the anchors, because we need some anchors today, don't we? We need some things we can count on today without any question, so that, you know, so that when these storms come in our life, that we can find a refuge, find a place we can go and have the same peace that the Apostle Paul had in the middle of this storm. You see, it's hard for us to recognize storms sometimes. The Apostle Paul didn't have any problem because he could feel the wind blowing in his face and messed his hair all up, you know, and he could see the sails being ripped to pieces, and the ocean is up here one time and it's on this side another time and down here another time. And it's all, I mean, he was in the storm, and he knew he was in the storm because he could see the storm. Sometimes we get in situations where we don't see the storm, but we still need an anchor. We need four different anchors, and one of the anchors that we need is the anchor, the strong anchor of the presence of God. The Apostle Paul had that when the angel of the Lord came and he said, whose I am and whom I serve. He's talking about the Lord Jesus there, I believe, don't you? And saying, fear not, Paul. And so the Lord gave him some assurance there, and his presence in your life is going to give you an assurance when the storms of life come in your life. How is your relationship with God? You know, I talk to people every once in a while. We run across people and you talk to them, and they're just, you know, everything is all right in their life. And you ask them if they're saved, and they'll say, yes, they're saved. And maybe they go to church regularly, maybe they don't. Maybe they know the pastor, maybe they don't. But they, as far as they're concerned, they think that they're saved and everything is hunky-dory. But they don't have a personal presence with God. You know what I mean? You see, there's the God that I serve is the one that back in 1962... I received as my personal Savior. And since that time, I've had a relationship with Him. There have been times when it hasn't been the best. Not His fault, it was my fault. But still, I had a personal relationship, and I could count on His presence. As I walked through the different things in my life, I knew that He was present with me during that period of time. Some people hold on to their religion. They hold on to their religious objects. They hold on to how good they are and what they do that would please God. They hold on to these things and they think that this is a thing that I can put before God and say this is what's going to get me into heaven. This right here, this is me right here. I've done all these good things, but that's not what counts when as far as God's concerned. It's does he know you in a personal relationship? Is there a presence when you go through the storms of life? You're gonna have to know that he's there in order to get through this thing. And that's one of the anchors you need to have. And you can't have that apart from the Word of God. You can't have that apart from the Church of God. You can't have that apart from the fellowship of God's people. You can't have his presence without all those other things. It's all a part of it, you see. But his presence, we need that anchor in our life so that whenever the storms come and that we know that there's a refuge, that we can go to a person, and not just a church, not just a building, not just a bunch of do's and don'ts that we go to. We go to a person. It's a personal relationship. When we go to that personal relationship, we go to that person that we know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved us, the one who has kept us. His presence is an anchor to your soul. I know one thing, I need one of these. Just hang in there. I have to wash it out. Have to get a little bit of water there. All right. The Apostle Paul, you see down in verse 23, where it says, "But there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." We need the strong anchor of the presence of God. The second anchor we need is the strong anchor of the promises of God. God came to him there. His presence was obvious. And he says to the Apostle Paul, he says, "I don't want you to be afraid, Paul. I have a plan for you. And so this is what's going to take place. You don't have to worry about the ship. And you don't have to worry about the people. I'm going to take care of all of that." So the Apostle Paul had the promises. You know, I believe that probably one of the things that Christians lack today is the number one is the desire to read the Word of God. But it's in this book that we have here and that we hold dear to our hearts, the Old King James Bible, and we, you know, it's almost like we don't quite, but it's almost like we almost worship this book because it's God's precious Word. We do reverence it. We do have a respect for it. And we don't pile junk on it at the house and we throw it down. You know, we keep a dust off of it. And we keep it where we can get to it quickly. And we carry it to church. But in this book is where all these promises are. And there's so many, I mean, they're wonderful promises. In the Old Testament, you read all the promises that's, you know, basically for the Jews, and yet in and among all those promises for the Jewish people are the promises that we can claim ourselves because we're God's people. We're his people. And these promises are something we can, it's like an anchor. Whenever the storms of life come, it's good to know that we have a refuge that we can run into. That'll take care of us in times of trouble. It's good to know that he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. That's a good promise. Just to realize that we don't have to worry. That slip of the tongue, I said something I shouldn't have said. We don't have to worry about, you know, whether he's left us and not going to come back for us anymore, you know. Because he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The promises of God. There's just so many of them that you could go to. And I was looking at some of them today, and I thought, well, I could spend a whole hour just reading the promises of God, so I'm not going to do that. But I do know that he has conditional promises. You know, if you do this, I'll do that. He did that with Israel, and then he had unconditional promises, and he did that with Israel too, and he does that with us too. But he also has promises about security and about salvation and about, you know, our relationship with him. He has all these promises. We need to claim the promises of God, as you know, because we're going to be in the storms one day. The storms of life are not something that just is one big overwhelming thing, although I guess this chaotic world we live in is a storm in itself. We certainly need the Lord every day just because of it. But I'm talking about personal storms. I'm talking about things like the Vietnam vet that I just saw just recently that had both legs off up here. I mean, had to cut off, just maybe he had 9 inches on one leg and 10 on the other, something like that. That's all he had. And he had a big smile on his face, and he said, you know, it's because of these stumps here that I got saved, and I'm happier than I've ever been. Think about that. You see, that's something God did personally, and that's a promise. God took care of this individual. In the midst of his storm, God's still there. The devil would like to have you worried and fretting about everything that comes into your life. But if we understand that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, and you have to get all that in there. You just can't say, you know, that it all works together for good and then just leave it there. You can't do that. You have to add all that other stuff in there that are called according to his purpose. That takes in a whole lot of territory. But the good thing is that he is working in our life to bring about that perfection that he's looking for. This old flesh that we have, hey, you know, I can tell you, just same as the rest of you. You know, every day we put on our clothes and we go out into the world and we rub shoulders with dirt and we get a little dirt on us. And there's just times when we have to deal with that stuff. And hopefully that's what revival's all about. You know, that's where we deal with that, the dirt of the world that, you know, gets off on Christians' lives. The devil wants to destroy you one way or another. That's why we have it, you know, be sober, be vigilant, because your devil's a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. That's why that verse is in there, to warn us that we need to be serious about this matter of spirituality. Be serious about this thing of going to church and reading your Bible and witnessing and doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. We need to do that because the devil's out there and he's trying to destroy our life. So we need the strong anchor of the promises of God, and we need the strong anchor of the providence of God. And we've talked a little bit about that already. Because God does have a purpose for every individual. He has a life that he wants you to live. And he's working in your life right now, whether you recognize it or not, to bring about that perfection and work. Sometimes we allow it, sometimes we don't. That's the tragedy of it. Sometimes we don't. But he still is working in our life, regardless of whether we're yielding or we're not yielding. You know, when I work on, well, you saw me up here just when I started this picture. One of the first things I did is I took a piece of gray chalk, and there was a line there that I didn't like. So I took the gray chalk and I got rid of that line. Hey, as far as that picture is concerned, I'm God. Huh? I'm the one who created it. And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. I'm just making a point. God does the same thing with our life. We put a mark on our life that he doesn't like. He just gets a piece of chalk, and he starts working it out. It may hurt a little bit when he works it out. Oh, man. it might smart a little bit when he works these little problems out. It's a whole lot like somebody who works on wood models, and he does these carvings, and he does all, and he makes beautiful things like some ducks that my son-in-law has down in Tennessee. He has a whole line of, he loves wood ducks, and so he's got some wood ducks, but they're wood ducks. But I notice how smooth they are and everything. You know why that is? Because there was some rough spots, and the guy who was doing the work on them, he said, there's a rough spot there, and there's a place that kind of has a hump on it. And he gets a piece of sandpaper, and he goes, the duck doesn't like that, you know. I mean, you wouldn't like somebody with sandpaper rubbing on your arm, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's God working in our life. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's, you know, uncomfortable, and sometimes it's brings shame on us. Sometimes it brings us under conviction. Sometimes it doesn't do anything because we're just hard-headed. But God is working in our life. We need that strong anchor of the providence of God. I look at what goes on in the world today, and if you just focus on that, and you just focus on the wars over in the East, and you focus on, you know, what's going on in the South and all that stuff, it's, you know, after a while you just start going, oh, good night. Just, oh, Lord, get me out of this thing. But in all of that, the providence of God is working to bring about His plan. His plan. His plan. We need that anchor of the providence of God to just know that God is in control. God is in control of this thing. And He may not work it out just the way we'd like to see it worked out, but He's in control. And out here at the end, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the end result, when we see the end result, we'll know that His way has been the best way. Then there's one final anchor. And that's the anchor, the strong anchor of the performance of God. It's found in verse 44 where it says, "And the rest came on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." There's the performance of God. It's just good to know that God will get you through the storm. You may be on a plank, or you may be able to swim to shore, but He's going to get you on the shore. There's a shore out there waiting for every believer. It's a shore that's, I guess we're all looking forward to that day. We walk through the gates, pearly gates, and we see the gold city, the streets of gold. We see the trees along the river there, and there's even fish in there. Some of you fishermen, there's fish in that river. Trees and fruit and all the wonderful things, and there's all of our loved ones that had gone on before us that had trusted Christ. There's Mom and Dad and Uncle Frank and Aunt Betty, Grandma and Grandpa. I look forward to seeing them. I remember them well. And I'll recognize them for who they are. And they'll recognize me. They'll recognize me because I'll be a perfect 30-year-old. I don't know how old you're supposed to be, but I'm just saying, if I say 30, I guess that's all right. Who's going to argue about whether it's 30 or 3,000, right? There may be times when it looks pretty bad, but God has a plan, and He'll secure you during the storm and deliver you safely on the harbor of glory. I wrote that down because I thought it sounded pretty good, and I want you to think about that. And it's all because of one thing. It's because 2,000 years ago, there was a man who came to this earth, We're going to celebrate his birthday here in another month. Fullness of time. The right time God brought forth his son. And that son was here for one reason, to seek and to save that who's lost. Some 30 years later, 30 some years later, why? He was put on a cross, and there his blood was shed, that we might have eternal life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, as I preached last night. So that's what it's all about tonight. We have four anchors that we need to get through the storms of life. And we have a refuge. His name is Jesus. And we can run into that refuge any time of trouble that comes on. Are you saved tonight? I hope you are. I look around. I don't really know everybody perfectly, but I look around and I suspect that probably everybody in here has, at one time or another, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But just trusting Christ as your Savior is not enough when the storms come. You need to throw out these four anchors. God's presence. You need his presence every day. Every day that you go through life, there's going to be little things and big things that come in that you're going to need the very presence of God there as an anchor to keep you on the straight and narrow, to keep you right. You're going to need the, let me get the others here, you're going to need the presence of God and the promises of God and the providence of God and the performance of God in your life. Those are the anchors that you need to have. Heavenly Father, bless this chalk drawing now as we show it. And I thank you, Lord, for this story, that this event that took place a couple thousand years ago and yet still just as important to us today as it was to those men back then. So bless our time now as we look at the chalk drawing and as you challenge us through thy Spirit. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We have an anchor steadfast and sure. Name is Jesus. Do you know him today personally? Do you have that personal relationship? Say, yeah, I remember when I asked him to save me. But you see, I'm asking something else. I'm asking, do you have a personal relationship with him? Yeah, I know he saved you. You know, I know you called on the Lord, and the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you. And that's true. But do you have a personal relationship with him? You spend time in the Word with him. Do you spend time in prayer with him? Is it personal? You know, do you talk to him? Do you walk down the road and on a sunshiny day and look around and the birds are tweeting and the flowers are out and it's in the middle of summer, okay? Use your imagination a little bit. Do you just sort of look around and just say, "Boy, Lord, I'm so glad I'm alive." Huh? Have you ever just talk to the Lord? Personal relationship. I think there's a lot of Christians that go through their Christian life without a personal relationship with Christ. It's hard for me to imagine that, but I know there's some that, you know. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul in that ship as it's bucking and swaying and guys are leaning over, they're sick as a dog and they haven't eaten for days and they're just, you know, being tossed to and fro and the boat's, you know, creaking and groaning and the masts broke and everything is happening and all at once an angel of the Lord just drops down beside him or the Lord himself and just says, Paul, fear not. That's a personal relationship. How's your relationship? His presence, his promises, are they real to you? Do you claim them? you're here tonight, and if things are just not where they ought to be with you and the Lord, why don't you tonight just make up your mind, hey, I'm tossing these anchors out. I don't want a shipwreck in my life. I want him to use me. I want it to be real. Our Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. I believe that there's folks here that probably need to come to this old-fashioned altar because their relationship with you has got kind of sour. They've lost their first love. It's sort of a mamby-pamby relationship. Maybe there's one here that's never trusted you as their Savior, and they need to come and know the truth, because the truth will set them free. So God, I pray, work in this invitation time. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can stand to our feet, we can have the lights back on. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist begins to play. If God's spoken to your heart,